We're on Daf Tes Zayin Amid Beis, and we are approximately, I would say, a little bit more than halfway down the Amud, and we're looking for something called Ella Rav Hemnuna. So it's hard to tell you exactly where it is, but as I say, it's a little bit more than halfway down the Amud, and the first word in the line is Omed, and we had a question of Rav Hemnuna, and we didn't really understand what his question was. The Gemara now is going to offer a suggestion as to what his question was about. We know one thing, that he was asking a question on the Mishnah in terms of what we call a Mechitzas Erev. And a Mechitzas Erev, if you remember, went horizontal from one side to the other. And in the first interpretation, which we spent a lot of time on yesterday, Rav Hemnuna was vacillating about a principle called Omed Meruba Ala Parutz, and he was wondering whether that principle could apply in a case of a Mechitzas Erev, which would mean that the distance between, let's say, the second rope going horizontal and the top one was 4 tfachim, so we didn't have a possibility of saying lavud, but nevertheless, since we had 6 tfachim on the bottom, we would be able to salvage this machitza through the process of, or the principle of, omed merubala parts. So we spent the entire day, the morning yesterday, trying to figure out how to work that out, and at the end of the day, we could not work that out. It would not successfully apply to our mission, and therefore the Gemara Ella is offering a new interpretation of Rav Hemnuna. Rav Hemnuna hachi kami boile. This is what he was wondering about. And again, we're talking about a mechitzas erev, which is a horizontal mechitza going from side to side, kegon in the following scenario. The icy machzeles. Machzeles literally translates as a mat, M-A-T, but it means, you know, reeds and so forth that are more or less like woven together. Dahavi shiva umashahu. So the size, or shall I say the size meaning the height, you know, going from the bottom of the machzelus to the top was 7 plus 7 tfachim and a little bit more. However, it wasn't totally solid. It wasn't solid machzelus, but rather chakakba. He like ki'ilu, I mean, again, this is just a literal translation. He punched a hole in it. It doesn't mean that he punched a hole in it. It means that the machzeles was not solid, all 7 tfachim, but rather, it had an opening in its height, an airspace, of 3 tfachim. The shavik bay, and what he left as solid mat, M-A-T, right, is 4 tfachim. So he's got a mat that's all told 7 tfachim. So the bottom of the mat is 7 tfachim below the top of the mat. But he creates a chakak, an opening of 3 tfachim in the, let's say, the bottom part of the machzelis, such that now he's got 4 tfachim in the top part of the machzelis, and he's got now an airspace of 3 tfachim, is shavik ba arba umashahu. So in other words, after you subtract the chakak, right, the airspace, you're left with 4 tfachim plus a mashahu of machzeles, of solid machzeles. The okme, and where is this machzeles situated? It is set up in a way that pachos mishlosha, meaning from the ground till that bottom, if I could call it a strip or a line of the machzeles, is less than 3 tfachim. So what we have now is we've got, going up from the ground up, we have, let's say, 2.9 tfachim of airspace. Then we have the bottom of the machzeles. And in terms of the airspace from the ground up to the bottom of the machzeles, we have lavud, because it's closed up, because it's less than 3 tfachim of airspace. So we now have what's closed up on the bottom, which is now three tefachim. Then we get to a chakak, which is an airspace of three tefachim, until we get to the top part of the mat, which is four plus mashahu. So when we add the four plus mashahu to the three tefachim of lavud, going up from the ground to the that bottom strip of the mat, we end up with seven, with a full seven tefachim. No, I'm sorry. What we have now is if the chakak is shlosha tefachim, so we have now the three tefachim on the bottom, which is again lavud, and we have the machzeles solid, which we said was four tefachim and a mashu. So all told, we have seven tefachim now that closes this area, and we have a halal, an open space, which was three tefachim, right? Three tefachim between the top part of the machzeles and the last strip going horizontally across of the machzeles. That's a three tefachim halal. So let's read the language of the Gemara one more time. Hachi kami boile. Here was the case that Rav Hamnuna vacillated about. What's the status of this mechitzas Arev that goes horizontal in a case of icy machzeles? His machzeles is shiva umashu. It's all told from the top to the bottom, seven tefachim. However, he punches out airspace between the top and the bottom. So he's got four tefachim plus left solid. That's called shavik le'arba. But he is chakak ba shlosha. He opens up an area of three tefachim. The okme bepachos mishlosha, and from the ground up to the bottom of the machzelis is less than three tefachim, and therefore the airspace between the bottom of this machitza, that means the last strip, the bottom strip of the machzelis and the karka, is considered sasum, and that is because of the law of lavud. So now, he has a mechitzas erev that goes from side to side. He's got omed merubal aparetz. And the reason he has omed merubal aparetz is because the omed is four tvachim, whereas the paretz is only three tvachim. So it's omed merubal aparetz. Now, as far as the three tvachim on the bottom, which are stumim, midin lavud, he's got all told seven tefachim, because we're going to add the three tefachim that is lavud, that is sasum, to the four tefachim that he left of the machzeles. And all told, he now has an omed of seven tefachim. He's only got a pirtza in that chakak, in the bottom half of his machzeles, of three tefachim. So Rav Hamnuna now vacillates, is this a valid mechitza or is it not? So here I want to read to you one or two notes, just to sort of embellish it. And he says the following, that Ein ze omed merubal aparetz mishnei tzad. Don't think that the problem that we had in the previous interpretation of Hamnuna is applicable here. It's not applicable here. In the previous case, we had a problem of omed merubal aparetz mishnei tzad, right? Which means that you were attaching together two omeds, omed here and an omed there, and then you integrated them together in order to get a meruba. That's not here. Why not? Shekein be'elyon, even on the top part of the mat, which was left solid, Yesh arba tvachim, he has four tvachim. That's already meruba ala parutz, because the parutz is only three tvachim. So I don't even have to apply the principle of lavud and add the three tvachim from the ground up in order to get meruba. I have homemade meruba simply because the mat has four tvachim on top that's solid. And now you might ask another question. We had a previous objection, which was Asi Avir Mihai Gisu Mihai Gisa. Well, that doesn't apply here too. All right, Avir Mihai Gisa Mihai Gisa means that you have a machitza that has open space on the right side and open space on the left side. Well, that doesn't apply here either, because what we have is the machzel is coming from the top, going down, and there's only avira on one side. Now, there's a long discussion here about the Me'iri. I'm just going to touch on it. The Me'iri has a slightly different approach to this Gemara that we learned today. And he says the following. Okay, the machzeles, mamides machzeles kasher hachakika pona litzad mala. The exact opposite of what we said based on Rashi, that the solid part of the machzeles is the top part. He's got the solid, when I say he, I mean the Me'iri, he has the solid part of the machzeles on the bottom side. He says, "Ein ze dome l'shlosha chavolim," and it's different than the previous case where we had three ropes going across, and we said, "Asi avir mihaygisu mihaygisu mevatale," because on both sides of the chevel there was airspace. Kevin shesham achevel ha'elyon eno medubak lechevel hamtzoi. Right, so there's a separation between the top rope and the second rope, the middle rope, and that puts avir on both sides of the rope. Aval kan, hamashu shenosar me'al hachakika mechubar minatzdadim beguf hamachzeles. In other words, in the Me'iri's picture of what was going on here, he's got the machzeles on the bottom, and it's four tfachim and a mashahu, correct? And he's got one strip on the top, so that the machzeles all told from the bottom to the top is seven tfachim. He's got a chakak right below that strip on top of three tfachim. And again, there's less than three tfachim on the bottom. But what he has is that the machzeles that's omed, which is the four tfachim on the lower side, has a mashu, it has a piece that sticks out, and it connects to part of the machzeles on the right and part of the machzeles on the left that go all the way up to the top. And in that case, we don't say that there's avir on both sides. Rav Ashi Omar, let's go on. Rav Ashi has a different take on the suffix of Rav Himnuna. Mechitza tluya iboilahu. The suffix of Rav Himnuna revolves around a mechitza that doesn't go all the way down, it comes from the top, but it's sort of floating in midair. So he places his machzeles, which is 10 tfachim, but lifting it up 3 tfachim from the ground. Once you lift it up 3 tfachim from the ground, you no longer have lavud. So what you have is a mechitza, a very valid, nice mechitza of 10 tfachim, but it doesn't reach the ground. It is suspended in midair. And his suffik was that since he has omed merubala parutz, it means that he's got 10 tfachim's worth of machzeles, and so that's greater than the 3 tfachim of parutz on the bottom, so he has rov. And therefore, if he has omed berubala parutz, maybe in such a case, I just want to understand, there's one word here that bothers me, mevatlo, I'll come back to that in just a minute. Oh, she'ein din omed berubala parutz b'mechitzas Shasi, but not in a mechitzas erev. So he wants to say, according to Ravashi, I mean, that the problem is that we can apply the principle of Omed Merubah LaParutz in a case of a Mechitzas Shesi. Correct? Because what we said was that that protects the Gedim from breaking through. If he has a place that's Meruba. But here in the case of an Arev, we weren't sure about that. Ukiribay Mine Rav Tavla Me Rav. We had a suffix that was presented by Rabbi Tavla to Rav. Mechitza Tluya Maushe Tatir Bechurva. So you have this old, dilapidated house, and what's left is part of a wall, and that wall does not go down. In other words, it doesn't reach the ground. It's from the top down, but it's nifritza, it's open towards the bottom. The walls that are left in this churva, in this dilapidated house, are asar tfachim, but they're tluyim v'omdim, right? They don't reach below three tfachim to the ground. So shall we say that since there are mechitzos of the walls, they're enough to be matir tiltal inside this churva, and it's not considered prutza. And the reason for that is because we have mechitzos that are ten tfachim. The only problem is those mechitzos don't reach the ground. They are suspended in air. And in the same way, Rabbi Tavla vacillated about that, and whether or not you can use the ksalim of this churva and set up a heter tiltal and say that this is not prutzel or shusharabim, but rather it's a section that separates itself from the shusharabim. But we weren't sure about it, because since it's a mechitza tluya and it doesn't reach the bottom, that's an inferior mechitza. The same thing bothers the mind of Rav Hemnuna, according to Rav Ashi, in a case of a machzeles which doesn't reach the ground. It is more than three tefachim above the ground, which makes it into a suspended mechitza. So do we count that as mechitza or do we not? And that'll be nogeh to that caravan that set up this hanging suspended mechitza in order to allow carrying within that mechitza. Amale, so Rav responded to Rabbi Tavla, ein mechitza tluya materes. We don't accept the validity of a hanging suspended mechitza if it doesn't go to the ground and there's no lavud. The only time that we allowed this, you may remember we had a case where a person is out at sea and we want to allow him to draw water from the sea, so we had a certain leniency and we said that he could create a mechitza tluya, so he builds himself, you know, like imagine if there was a porch on, you know, coming out of the boat, and he builds himself a little bit of a box that is four tefachim square wide, and he puts the pail inside this box, so to speak, inside the opening, and he draws the water up. That was a case of a mechitza tluya. And kalhu sheikilu chachomim b'mayim. Again, I have to assume that this is pure, you know, pure water in the sea, otherwise I don't know what he's drinking there, but in a pure water sea, and he draws the water up through these mechitzos. Why? Because otherwise the sea has the status of a karmelis, and he would not be allowed to draw from a karmelis into the boat, which is Rishus HaYochid. But we were lenient, and we relied on a mechitza tluya. So that was a special kula in the case of Mayim. But we don't know that kula would be extended beyond that case of mine. So let me just read a summary of this sugi that we learned today in this beer. The only thing is, I just got to find the place here. Oh, here it is. He says, Rav Hamnuna was asking, this is before Rav Ashi, of a case of someone who took a mat that's slightly more than 7 tefachim high, and he cut off a strip of 3 tefachim high, cut out of it. He left in the mat 4 tefachim of height on the side of the gap, and a strip of the slightest width on the other side of the gap. And he then positioned it in less than 3 tefachim from the ground, so that the strip of 4 tefachim on top, together with the narrow strip on the bottom, and the closure of the gap, which is lavud, that totals 7 tefachim. And Rav Hamnuna questions whether such a partition is invalid because of the gap, which we call a pirtza, or whether it's valid because most of the pirtza is closed. Rav Ashi said that Rav Hamnuna inquired concerning a suspended partition, a partition of 10 tefachim that's suspended 3 tefachim above the ground. Does the greater solid portion above serve to nullify the gap below? As Rav Tavla inquired of Rav, can a suspended partition permit a ruin? Okay, I called it a dilapidated house. He calls it a ruin. That's a better word, R-U-I-N. So is he allowed to carry... Oh, now he used the word dilapidated. Interesting. In a dilapidated ruin, and Rav answered him that a suspended partition permits carrying only in regards to water. In other words, in a partition that's suspended above a bottle of water, because that was a special leniency that Chazal allowed regarding water, to allow people to draw water from an area that's bounded by a suspended partition. Okay, fine. He doesn't give the case of a ship. In the footnote, he gives the case of a building. And if you go out to the porch of the building, you have a balcony that overhangs over a body of water. So if the partitions of 10 tefachim high are attached to this balcony, they are viewed as if they extend down to the water and enclose the water beneath. This leniency was allowed to enable one to draw water from an area bounded by the partitions and bring it into a shusayachid through the hole in the floor of the balcony. Not sure why he has to say the hole in the floor of the balcony. This I don't know. Okay, fine. And this leads us to the Mishnah here of Makifin Bikanin. So this Mishnah is not on our daf, it's back on Omid Aleph, but the Mishnah says that if you have a caravan of people, then they can surround that area where they're encamping with kanim, with reeds. And Rabbi Yehuda says it's got to be a shayara. We can only allow this for 3 people minimum. So the Gemara asks, I have another statement of Rabbi Yehuda that contradicts this statement. The shayara in B'yachid lo, Rabbi Yehuda, our Mishnah is only willing to allow you to be makif mechitza with those ropes if you have 3 people of a caravan, but yachid one person, no. For Tanya, we have a braisa that says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kol mechitzos Shabbos, which is a reference to both Shasi and Erev, lo itiru liyachid Yoser mi beis asayin. In other words, the limitation here, according to this braisa of Rabbi Yehuda, is if the area is very, very large. The area is fit for planting 2 sa'in. And I think in the past we said that was over 70 amos square. Anyway, it's a very large area called beis asayin. So the braisa is saying, in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, that all these mechitzos, which we said were incomplete mechitzos, like the Shasi or the Erev, were only allowed for a yachid. Right? So it says, Lo itir li yachid. Again, he's going to set up the conditions and the restrictions, but he says, Lo itir li yachid. Right? Unless it was X, whatever the X is, we'll see. But we see clearly from this brisa, the Rabbi Yehuda allowed these mechitzos even for yachid. Again, only in the following proviso, the following condition, that we don't have a base asayin. So lo itiru yoser mi base asayin, meaning that we're going to allow it for an area that's less than a base asayin, but not for an area that's larger than a base asayin. But he's explicitly talking about a yachid for one individual. How do you reconcile that with our Mishnah that reports that Rabbi Yehuda required a full shayara, and one yachid is not enough? So the Gemara answers, Kida Omar Rav Nachman. Now the Gemara is going to quote another question in a different context, and the answer of Rav Nachman, and the Gemara, by analogy, is going to apply Rav Nachman to our question. Itema, others say it was Rav Bibi Barabaye. Lo Nitzricha. Okay, that's a case in a Mishnah where there are mechitzos that do not surround She'enam Akifim Bahem, Ella Litein Lahem called Tzarchan. Okay, so let me read to you the Beer here in English. He says that it was not necessary, that's called Lo Nitzricha, to allow them enough space for all their needs. So in other words, the Tana invalidated those second-rate mechitzos of Shasi and Erev. He did not invalidate it completely, but only for the purpose of enclosing an area larger than a base saw. Even though the people need the larger area to fully accommodate their needs. So again, we're going to say that, as Rav Nachman says it, we're going to invalidate the Shasi and Erev Mechitzos in the case of enclosing a large area, which is two base saws, which is called Litein Lahem Tzrocham. Okay, fine. Now again, we didn't yet quote the context in which Rav Nachman made that statement, but we just have that statement. In a minute we'll see the broader picture. And the Gemara says, Hachinami, here too, when we talk about Rav Yehuda and our Mishnah, is Litein Lahem called Sarkon. When Rabbi Yehuda limits the leniency of these two mechitzos to a full shayara, that limitation was referring to Litein Lahem Kol Tzarcham. So when we talk about those mechitzos in our Mishnah, we're talking about a case where we want a Litein Lahem Kol Tzarchan. What does that mean? We have an area in excess of a base saw, right? It's two base saws. It's called base saw sayim. Anyway, I'll call it a base saw, so you'll know what I mean. So if you have an area that exceeds a base saw, then we're not going to accept those two mechitzos unless A and B. A, it's lasos lahem kol tzarkon. All right, we'll see what that means. And B, it is a shayara. It is a minimum of three people. But the Braisa, which we saw earlier, and Rabbi Yehuda says, Kol Mechitza Shabbos lo hitiru li yachid, etc. That's not a contradiction to our Mishnah, because there Rabbi Yehuda wants to talk about litein lem kol tzarkam, and although we're going to rely on these, I call them second-rate mechitzos, in an area of Yoser Beis HaSayim, but that's only litein lem kol tzarkam, and that's one mitigating factor. And number two, it is a shayara. So again, just to get the broader picture, Hecha Itmar Dirav Nachman. In what context did Rav Nachman make his statement? He tamer Rabbi Barbaye. Ahodis Nan. So now we're learning the end of our Mishnah. Kol Mechitza She'ena Shel Shesi V'erev Eina Mechitza. Divrei Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. In other words, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda required that it be both horizontal and vertical at the same time. In other words, he's only willing to integrate both Shasi and Erev in order to get a Mechitza. Umi Omar Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Hachi. How do we reconcile this ruling of Rabbi Yossi with a Braisa that says, Echad Yochid V'echad Shayora L'chavolin? Okay, so we have Yochid and Shayora. So that's Yochid means one person, and a Shayora means three people. And they're all included in Chavolin. In other words, we can allow, in both of those cases, to carry something inside Chavolin, inside this Mechitza of Erev. Uma ben Yochid l'shayara. In what context do we actually accept this distinction between the individual and the group and the shayara? And the answer is, as far as Beis HaSayim is concerned, Yochid nosnim lo Beis HaSayim, Shnayim nosnim lahem Beis HaSayim. But Shlosha, Nasu Shayara, V'nosim Lahem Beis Sheish, Divrei Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. So once we have a Shayara of three, then we allow them to use these partitions, these mechitzos, to enclose an area of up to six Beis Saw. Now, if I understand correctly, six Beis Saw is three times Beis HaSayim. So we're talking about a much larger area, and we're still going to rely and validate a Mechitza Shel Erev, but only if you have a Shayara. So for the benefit of Shayara, we're going to give them, according to Rabbi Yossi, a lot more rope, so to speak, meaning we're going to allow them and relax the law for a base shisha saw, and that base shisha saw is so much larger than a base HaSayim. So for the benefit of one or two people, we're going to max out at base saw and allow for this mechitza shel erev, but only because we have less than a base saw, which means base saw sign, right? But when it comes to shayara, we can loosen and expand the reliability and the validity of a mechitza shel arev to the point of sheish base saw. And all this is Rabbi Yossi. Chachomim omrim, Echad Yochid v'Echad Shayara Nosim Lehem Kol Tzarkam. In other words, there's no difference between the individual and the Shayara of three. In both cases, we're going to use this fallback Mechitza, the secondary Mechitza of Erev, right? Even if we only have a yachid, ubilvad shelo yehei beis HaSayim ponui. And the condition is that there's no area of Beis HaSayim that's vacant in this enclosure. In other words, the area that's enclosed by this fallback mechitza called Erev should not exceed that which the occupants require by a Beis HaSayim or more. Alright, so we have to know exactly what this means when we talk about panui. Panui means a vacant area. Anyway, let's go back to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. He's allowing you to rely on a machitza shel Erev, but only to some extent, only within certain bounds, unless you have a Shayara. But it's not like he invalidated this machitza completely for a yachid. He allowed and validated for a yachid, but only within, you know, you play the rules. You know, it's like you go to shul today. You know, you gotta live up by the rules. So we're gonna allow it, but it's gotta be less than a Beis HaSayim, and it has to be it might have other conditions. In any event, it's a yachid. So now we say the following: Omrav Nachman Vitema Rabbi Barabaye Lo Nitzrucha El Lite Lam Kol Tzarkon. When Rabbi Yossi said in our Mishnah that we have a leniency here in this secondary mechitza, but only for a shayara, what was he referring to? He was referring to Lite Lam Kol Tzarkon, allowing them enough space for all their needs. So Rabbi Yossi will not validate the shasi machitza for a larger area, for the purpose of enclosing an area larger than the limits he sets in the brisa. So the brisa is just fleshing out what we have in the Mishnah. So even though the people need a larger area to fully accommodate their needs, but he agrees that, I'm sorry, but nevertheless he requires that they have to, they have to inhibit their needs and, circumscribe the validity of this mechitza to a smaller area, because they don't have a shayora status. He agrees that you can rely on a mechitza shel shasi as long as the area is not too large, meaning it's not more than a Beis HaSayim, even though, again, you know, there would be, to accommodate their needs fully, we would need a larger area, but we have to, because the mechitza is a secondary mechitza, therefore, we're gonna have to ask him to give up on his greater needs and be limited to a certain area. So he has here a summary. He says the machlokas in our Mishnah is not about the validity of a mechitza shel erev. Everyone agrees that it's valid, but that's only if you have Beis HaSayim or less than Beis HaSayim. The machlokis is, can we add additional area beyond Beis HaSayim and enclose that area as well, even though it's larger than a Beis HaSayim, with a mechitza shel erev? So Rav Yehuda holds that the nafkamina is going to be between a yachid and a shayara. In the case of a yachid, we're going to limit him to a Beis Saw, and the mechitza shel erev will be valid only for up to, but not beyond the Beis Saw, because he's a yachid. But in the case of a shayara, then the sky's the limit. The chachamim hold that whether or not it's a yachid or a shayara, we can give them as much space as possible. So that's the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the chachamim. Now, enters center stage is Rav Yossi Brev Yehuda. He says that the limits of up to Beis Hasayim will apply whether or not it's a Yachid or a Shayara. Darash Rav Nachman Mishum Rabbeinu Shmuel. Okay, so we're talking about a Mechitza Shel Erev. Okay, or for that matter, Shel Shasi, but in any event, it's a secondary Mechitza. Is Yachid Nosnim Lo Beis Hasayim? So the maximum area that can be enclosed by these secondary Mechitzas has to be, in the case of a Yachid, Beis Hasayim, not beyond. Shnayim Nosnim Beis Hasayim, same thing applies to two. But Shlosha, once we get bingo, we get to a Shayara. Is Nase Shayara, Venosim Lam base Sheish. We could give them an area, let's say that's three times that size. It's base Sheish. Instead of two Sayim, you can plant six Sayim. Okay. So the Gemara asks the following kasha. Shavkas Rabbanan the Avdis Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. Have you left out the Chachamim and Paskin like Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda? In other words, we have a principle that Yochid V'Rabim Halacha Kirabim, and the Rabbim allowed for a Mechitza that would be limitless in the area that it covers. You're imposing the shita of Rabbi Yossi, and you're saying that if you don't have a shayora, you're limited by Beis Hasayim. If you have a shayora, you can expand it up to Sheish Sayim. But you left out the shita of the Rabbanan, who allow as much space as possible, as long as it's space that you need for your needs, like a kot sarkon. And it matters not whether we have a shayora or a yachid. So what makes you, what compels you to paskin like lechumra like Rabbi Yossi? So Rav Nachman apparently steps back. Hadar means he changes his mind. Okim Rav Nachman Amora Ale, he appoints a speaker to get on the foghorn, and Vidaresh to expound. Dvarim Shamati Lifnechem Tos Hebiyodi, what I said before you previously was a mistake. Baram Kach Omru, but this is the final halacha. Yochid Nosnim Lo Beis Hasayim, Shnayim Nosnim Beis Hasayim, Shlosha Nasa Shiyora, V'nosnim lahem kol tzarkon. Now, I'm not sure that this revision of the statement of Rav Nachman is really going to satisfy us, because he is still insisting on differentiating between the leniency for Yochid and that for a Shayara, in the sense that he's capping the area in a case of a Yochid to Beis Hasayim, he's expanding in the case of Shayara to Kol Tzarkon. So in what sense did Rav Nachman now backtrack when he announced that he made a mistake? He says here, in the latter part of his ruling, and he said what? He said that in the case of a Shayara, that was his original position, we allow up to six Beisah. Now, in his revised edition, he's saying, Noslem called Sarkon. You know, it's unlimited. But he still hasn't gone as far as accepting the Chachamim Shita, who upgrade a Yachid to the same status as a Shayara. Well, let's take a look here on Daf Yud Zayin. So the Gemara still objects and says, Reisha Rab Yossi Rab Yehuda V'Seifa Rabbanan. In other words, it's really true that in the Seifa, when we have a Shayara, he accepts the opinion of the Rabbanan, and that's an unlimited area. But when we go back to the Reisha, in which he differentiates between one or two, as opposed to a Shayara, I mean, that reflects the Shita Rabbi Yossi. The Rabbanan never accepted that distinction between one and a Shayara. So that, according to Rav Nachman, even after his revised edition, he still is limiting, in the case of a Yochid, the heter of this Mechitza Shel Erev to a Beisa, but not beyond a Beisa. And the Gemara answers, in Mishum Dekoy Avua Bishitase. Now, if you recall, Rabbi Yossi is the son of Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda himself was the breakthrough Shita in our Mishnah who differentiated between the Yochid and the Shayara. What Rav Nachman is doing now is he's paskening a kind of integration, or maybe we can call it a compromise. And he's going to set it up like this. He's got the Chachamim, and then he has both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. And that's as far as the Reish is concerned, meaning when there's a Yochid and not a Shayara. Because both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi agree that in the case of a Yochid, we have to limit the area that we could be matir with an Erev to a Beis Sa'. And here Rav Nachman is saying that since it's both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi that are tackling, you know, they're taking on the Chachamim, and they both agree against the Chachamim, that with regard to a Yochid, we have to limit the area to a Beis Sa'. So therefore, Rav Nachman is going to favor the Shita of Rabbi Yossi to the extent to which Rabbi Yehuda's father overlaps with his Shita, with Rabbi Yossi's Shita. Even though it's against the Chachamim. But when we get to the case of a Shayara, here, even Rabbi Yehuda allows for Kedei Tzarkon, meaning an unlimited area, and the Shasi or Erev Mechitza can be Matir, an unlimited area, and that's both Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakama and the Chachamim. So when Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi are on the same radar screen, then Rav Nachman is going to accept that opinion, and that's the issue about the Yochid and the limitations, the cap of Beis Hasayin. But when Rabbi Yehuda shifts his position to that of the Chachamim against Rabbi Yossi, which is the issue of a Shayara, whereas Rabbi Yossi limits the Shayara to base Sheish Sasayim, the Chachamim say Kol Tzarko, there's no disguise the limit, and now Rabbi Yehuda agrees with the Chachamim against Rabbi Yossi, here's where Rav Nachman is going to accept the Shita of the Chachamim against Rabbi Yossi. So just to summarize, we have a twofold machlokas here amongst the Tanoim. One is a machlokas about Yochid, and the other is a machlokas about Shayara. The first machlokas is whether or not we have to limit the area that's surrounded by these mechitzos in the case of a Yochid. And here we have an agreement, an overlap of both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, that the maximum cap area is Beis Hasayin. So that's as far as the yochid is. Now we have another machlokes. In the case of a shayara, do we have any limitations in terms of the area that is surrounded by these mechitzos? And here we have Rabbi Yossi as a lone ranger against both the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda. And although Rabbi Yossi says we have to limit even the Shayara to an area of Sheish Sa'in, nevertheless, we're going to accept the Shita of the Chachamim with the agreement of Rabbi Yehuda that when it comes to a Shayara, there's no limitation whatsoever. Amar Rav Gidol Amar Rav, Shlosha Bechamesh Asurim. Okay, we have a Shayara of three people, and if we have an area that is Chamesh, then it's Asur, but B'Sheva Mutarim. Now, this sounds counterintuitive, because we always assumed that the larger the area, the more difficult it is to achieve to obtain some sort of a heter, you know, some sort of leniency. But Rav Gidol Amar Rav is saying just the opposite. That if it's an area of 5 beis sah, then it's usur. But if it's a larger area of 7, then it's mutter. Amru lo, so they turned to Rav Gidol and they said to him, Amar Rav Hochi, is it possible that Rav really said that? How could it be? Amar lahu, he takes a shvua, O Raisa Nevi'e Uksive Di Amar Rav Hochi. He takes an oath by the Torah, the prophets, and the scriptures that Rav did in fact say this. In other words, I can assure you that Rav said this. So let me just read to you this note. And he says the following. Pa'amim sheshayor shel shlosh bnei adam afilu bebeis chamesh soim asurim. So we have a full Shayara, and yet sometimes it'll be Asur if it's a Chamesh Soim. Again, we're always talking about these secondary mechitzos of Shasi and Erev. Upa'amim, and sometimes, even if there's an area of 7 Soim, which is much, much larger, Mutar. Omer Avashi Mai Kasha, I can accept Rav, Dilma Hochi Kamar, but we have to reinterpret Rav. And what he meant to say was the following. Im hutzrichu anshei shayor lemakom shegodlo beis sheish soim, if the area that they need for this shayora is as large as sheish soim vikifu, and they set up this secondary mechitza of shesi or erev, is b'sheva soim. In other words, they went one extra saw beyond what they need. Hainu hekifu beis saw ach echad yoser me'an nitzrach lahem, is afilu b'sheva mutarim. We can allow it, and it'll be matit till tumiachar v'einkan beis sasayim ponui. Okay, this comes back to the issue of ponui, which we're about to embark upon. Maybe we'll get into that tomorrow. He says, but lo hutzuchu el l'chamesh, if all they needed was 5 ikifu b'sheva, is afilu b'chamesh asurim. In other words, if they added 2 sa'im that were extra, then the mechitzos are not effective at all, even for the base Chamesh Soim, which they really needed. Alright, so this is the initial statement in very abstract terms of Rav Ashi. And Belinated tomorrow, we'll try to figure out what Rav Ashi has in mind with all the minutiae, all the details.